Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Sarah Summers. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Judy, and good morning and good afternoon to everyone. I know you've all been anxiously awaiting this call for our legacy ISS business partners. This is an exciting call because this is our first product launch into Passport Advantage, so we are officially part of Software Group. And for the other Tivoli partners that may have joined, you have been anxiously awaiting us to be more integrated into Software Group. So we are finally there, and we're really excited about this call. Virtualization is a business need for many of your customers, and IBM can help address these challenges for your customers with this solution. So I'd encourage you to listen along as our speaker, Greg Zahalas, he's part of our worldwide team for server and network security. He's our main speaker, and he's going to take us through an overview of the Virtual Server Protection product. By the end of the presentation, there will be some actionable steps that you can take in your territories and sales and marketing support that's available. A housekeeping tip is that the presentation is loaded on PartnerWorld, and if you do not have a copy of it, feel free to email Vivian Gawecki, V as in Victor, G as in Ghost, A-W-E-C-K-I at us.ibm.com. So let's go ahead and get started. Most of you know that we have done a four-part security talk series, and this is the final call in that series. This one is going to be an overview of the released virtual server protection product. VSP is an open distribution, so those of you partners that had questions about that, and it was just released last week on November 12th of 2010. It can be ordered through both Passport Advantage and the end-to-end security ordering system, which is the legacy ISS system. That is for 90 days to make sure that we don't interrupt any of your fourth quarter business. And more on that later in an ordering slide. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Greg Zahalas to do our main presentation. Greg?
Thank you, Sarah. Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Greg Zahalas. I'm joined today by David Abercrombie, who's a senior manager in our product management group. David's one of the one of our authorities on server protection as well as virtualization, so I'm fortunate to have David joining us today. Today's format, just so everyone knows, as Sarah mentioned, the slides are on PartnerWorld. I will be referencing them at slide four, be letting you know what slides we're on. Sarah, you can certainly keep me honest if, because sometimes I get excited about the topics if I jump ahead and it's confusing where we are in the presentation. Please jump in and remind me to keep everyone on track. So as I said, my name is Greg Zahalas. I'm part of the worldwide sales and strategy team. I have the server and network protection products for IBM Security. I'm a heritage ISSer. I've been with Security for about 10 years. At ISS and prior to ISS, I spent in excess of 10 years both in the channel and supporting the channel. So very familiar and probably know a lot of the business partners that are on this call. I have a lot of material to cover today. Fortunately, I am someone that speaks quickly, so I'm hoping to get through all the material. There is also a good amount of reference material today that I hope you'll find useful. So, if you move to slide three, I'll just briefly review today's agenda. I'm going to first talk about what virtualization is in the context of computing. And discuss the virtualization market itself. Then next up, I'll talk about the need for virtualization security. And then the third part will be actually IBM and our products address the need for this protection. And then the next section covers the latest release of our product, our virtual server protection product, which I'll refer to as VSP for short, and that's release 1.1. And then next up will be some best sales practices and some sales references that I've gathered, you know, over the last several months. And then we'll recap presentation a little bit and move on to some seller. Sarah will cover some seller resources that will be available to you. So at this point, let's move to slide four. So what really is virtualization? You know, from a computer perspective, virtualization is a creation of a virtual version of a device or resource. So examples of this would be, you know, the most common example and certainly the one that I deal with most is, you know, server and operating systems. But, you know, it definitely extends beyond that. You know, other areas would be storage, application, and network, and I'll outline some of those in this presentation. A virtualized environment divides these resources into one or more executable environments. So I know we have a lot of business partners out there. You know, we have business partners that focus perhaps on selling, you know, VMware and perhaps operating systems. We may have others that are more storage-focused. And, you know, all these components are important to the story. So adoption rates with regard to virtualization. Very interesting story, you know, regarding virtualization. It's not new. I have to definitely give a plug to IBM because, you know, historically when I first started, you know, researching this, you know, IBM is really a pioneer in with regard to virtualization. In the 60s, they pioneered that with mainframe computing and in that space for many years, and then distributed computing in the 80s and 90s when I first started getting involved with networking. You know, very popular computing and resources became very inexpensive and you know, easy to add a lot of file servers. So, you know, that was the good news. You know, the bad news is you had server sprawl where I think, you know, people were adding servers too easily probably and not a lot of the computing capacity was being used. So what happened? You know, what happened is people started looking at this. You had a company, companies that were, you know, focusing and trying to understand this. In particular, you had a company, VMware, in the late 90s and early 2000s that were, you know, looked at this model and said it really wasn't efficient and developed products to address those needs. So what's happened in the from probably 2001 to 2010, dramatic increase in virtualization marketplace. You know, if you look at the slide that's on page four, you know, it has projections and I've seen different projections, but for 2010 the estimates are anywhere from $4 to $10 billion is going to be spent on virtualization. You know, one of the things I think that put a lot of really helped virtualization, it was, you know, it was certainly taking off before the economy had difficulties, but there's an return on investment, and I have a slide that really outlines that, but there's, you know, a significant return on investment in implementing virtualization, and I think that, you know, really while spending became, you know, it was very difficult and scrutinized with customers, it was, you know, an easy spend when you looked at the return on investment. So that certainly helped the market, and, you know, the good news is the projections for the next 5 years, this market is not slowing down. If anything, it's going to be increasing. So at this point, let's move to slide five. Really, the point of slide five and what I'd like to point out here is if you break apart the spending within the virtualization marketplace, you'll see that the security spending is a relatively small portion of that. You know, it depends on who. It depends on who you speak with, but it's anywhere right now probably this year from $50 to $100 million in spend. And so billions of dollars being spent on virtualization. And then you look at security, you say, okay, well, you know, that's not really a significant portion of it. You know, what's the story there? Well, from my perspective, the story is pretty simple. Is people got ahead of themselves. You know, customers got ahead of themselves. So, you know, it's much like the internet was in the 90s and early 2000s. People were so excited about the possibilities with the internet and the marketing opportunities and so on and so forth. It grew so quickly that they didn't really spend time thinking, is this secure? Should we be securing this? This is, you know, a different medium. What are the threats out there? And so you had this mass explosion in the internet, and then afterwards you had companies like ISS, where, you know, I came from, where we came in and then started educating customers on the threats that were out there. You saw more consciousness in the marketplace. Compliance certainly was a driver. And I'm seeing that happen all over again with virtualization. I'm seeing customers that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on sometimes billions of dollars on data center projects and virtualization projects. And, you know, and these are infrastructure IT organizations, and they're not really thinking about virtualization. So the message there with regard to virtualization spending is it is growing at a significant rate, you know, albeit a small portion, but we expect it over the next 2 to 5 years to really take off. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that $100 million figure go to $400 or $500 million. And I think it's incumbent on vendors like IBM and our partners to go out there and really, the better job we do educating our customer, the faster, you know, that market will grow. So moving to slide six, I referenced, when I talked about, you know, reasons why virtualization has taken off, you know, certainly the economy being one driver. Here's a pictorial that has several different areas that help drive the business case and the efficiency within an IT organization. So what does this really do? You know, it reduces the number of sites. You know, many of my customers I meet with, they talk about, hey, I have 6 data centers. Greg, we're moving data centers. You know, why are you doing that? We're doing that for, you know, to save space, to save electricity, to be better managed. Or you have companies that acquire. You know, last week I was at a customer where they were talking about, you know, major acquisition, where the company that they acquired had 2 data centers that they were planning on folding into their existing data centers for efficiency. So very large, very important strategic projects. Reducing the number of sites, also reducing the number of servers, getting better efficiencies. As I mentioned, you know, studies were done. I think VMware was very astute, and they looked at studies about, you know, what percentage of CPU cycles were actually being utilized in server, and it was shockingly low. I think it was 12% or 14%. And then you look at that idle CPU utilization sitting there. So say, okay, it's there, it could be used, but, you know, what's the life cycle of a server, right? You know, servers today, they don't last 10, 15 years. You know, the life cycle is typically 3 to 6 years for organizations. So to have to pay for a resource that's sitting there where you're using 12% of the CPU power, and then 3 to 6 years later you're replacing that, that's a really poor investment, and they really played to that. So another area being centralizing data from different resources. You know, data sits in different areas. Being able to have it in one area, it's easier to manage and do things that you need to do with it. And then the application, you know, efficiency, putting different applications such as, you know, billing, ordering, web, onto consolidation of servers. At this point, move to slide 7, and that's that leads us into the next section, which is, okay, you know, we talked a little bit about this exploding marketplace and the importance. We talked about why it's important, a little bit about, you know, some vendors and how we've come full circle. And now I'm going to talk about why this new environment has created an environment of really new risks and new threats. And operational, there's certain aspects of operational efficiency and compliance that customers just simply didn't realize and pay attention to. And one thing I'll note is if you look at the majority, if not all, certainly the IBM probably being the only exception with mainframes, but if you look at the vendors that were in the virtualization marketplace, and there's several of them. It's, you know, I'm going to focus today on VMware, because they've got a dominant market share, and that's VSP is written to that. But certainly IBM has other virtualization, also PowerV, which is an excellent product, and there's KVM and some others, and as well as Microsoft. They you know, rush out the door, so they see this market taking off. They rush their products out the door because they want to sell more, and you know, naturally that's understandable. And they didn't address security. And you know, when we looked at that several years ago, we had developers and some really smart folks in our X-Force, you know, look at this, and they said, wow, you know, there's a lot of threats and there's a lot of new vulnerabilities that are created. So I'm going to talk about some of those in the next couple of slides. So moving to slide 8, I like to, you know, include some pictures in my presentation always. And this one I've stolen from, and you'll see on the reference, in the reference material in the back, there's an excellent presentation that was given over the summer actually it was given jointly with IBM and VMware. It was Bob Kalka led that call, but it's VMware talked about their product, and then Bob talks about the cloud environment and virtualization. So if you have the time, I encourage you to go and take a look at that. So this slide is stolen. I'm going to give credit to Bob. I don't want him listening to this and sending me an email saying I'm stealing his slides without giving him credit. But this is really I thought was a good picture of what's going on. You know, to start the conversation is, you know, historically when you look at these servers that are standalone servers, they're one to one. It's similar to, let's say, a housing development, or you look like a complex where you have, you know, 50, 100 houses, you know, sitting in a community, might be townhouse community or standalone houses. And, you know, you can look at each one, and they're each individual, and their security concerns, they may have their security system. But it's one-to-one, and you can look at and get certain things and glean certain things from looking at it. But if you look to the picture to the right that has it looks like a very busy hotel. It looks like a picture probably from Manhattan, be a hotel in Manhattan. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on because now you've consolidated all these living places into one giant building, and you certainly get economies of scale with certain things, with probably regard to energy and securing the outside. But there's a lot of things going on inside that building that are not as visible to the outside, perhaps as the other picture was. And I think this will come be a little clearer as I discuss the next couple of slides. So let's move to slide 9. And slide 9 shows what I've discussed. What was the environment before? You know, the equipment was physical. You know, if you brought up a new server, and I worked with IT departments over the years, you know, we're expanding our data center. We're going to buy 50 more servers. We need to procure 50 physical servers. We need wires, cables. Okay, well, we got to connect them. We need routers and switches, so we go to those companies. And then some of these servers are going to be on racks. Some aren't. We need storage, internal storage. We need storage arrays, memory, all the things that go into this, but it's one to one. So the physical server, they order it, they had to spec it out, they had to set it up, they had to load, they had a process where they load the operating system and you load the applications, and it's not a trivial process, and especially when you're talking about, you know, hundreds of servers and in some large environments thousands, it's a very lengthy and labor intensive process. You know, machines stay put. They don't move around. You know, if you do move a machine, you have to go into the data center, so you have to have physical access to that machine. You walk into the data center, and you have to physically pick it up and perhaps ship it, and you have to make sure that when it's shipped, it's secure because it's physical and it shows up, and then someone's got to unbox it and power it up. So I think you get the idea. You know, that's the way it was for many, many years. And security address those things. We sell, you know, security agents that sit on those servers. You know, IBM has a very robust server security product. We support all the major operating systems, you know, Windows, Linux, Solaris, and we've been doing that for years. And it's a good model. And you front it with maybe network IPS, and that's before. And then, so what's happened now afterwards? All these things now have been consolidated. So you have one server now that's not one operating system. It has multiple operating systems. And those operating systems are not just talking to other things outside the box. They're talking to each other, and you have storage inside, and you have sometimes storage outside, and you have some now even virtual networking things that are going on in there. So with all this going on, which is great because it saves company and you can do a multitude of other things that you couldn't do before we had virtualization explosion, now customers don't realize that they're at risk. So I have a series of questions here. You know, now that your equipment is virtual, I sit down with customers and you ask them some questions. Okay, you know, how do you watch the network? And a lot of times they'll say, what do you mean watch the network? I see it as it is now. Well, how do you know that traffic, you know, how do you watch the traffic that goes in between the operating systems? Where are your VMs located? How do you keep track of new virtual machines? And a virtual machine is analogous quite often to adding another virtual operating system. What's your change control policy? And most of the time when they go through these questions, are your virtual machines patched properly? You know, is your hypervisor secure? Who's responsible? This is a great question. You know, you sit in a room where you have, I've done this, you know, David's smiling here because he's been in a room with me where we've been in a room with an IT group. We've got a security group. We've got the server group there. And, you know, one of the questions we ask them is, okay, you have this virtualization environment. Who's responsible for this? And then they don't know. They look at each other. Is it the infrastructure folks? Well, I think it's me because we got a virtual switch in there. The guy raises his hand. And then the security guy goes, no, I think it's me because I'm in charge of security. And then, you know, you have the server person that says, hey, those are my servers. I'm responsible for the infrastructure. You guys can't do anything to those servers until you pass it by me. So, I these are the type of conversations that you need to have with customers to really get them thinking. This is a different environment, right? This is much different than you used to. So, this introduces new complexity. I'm going to talk about some of those new complexities that the customers need to be aware of. So moving to slide 10, slide 10 digs a little deeper into exactly what this virtualization environment and specifically in a VMware world, what it looks like. Before virtualization, you'll see in the middle of the slide, you'll see applications, you'll see an operating system, and as I mentioned earlier, you'll see a one-to-one ratio typically of operating systems and appliance per server. You know, hundreds and thousands of servers in a server farm data center. So what happens after virtualization? Now you have multiple virtual machines, and each one of those virtual machines in and of itself previously was a physical server with all the components. So in this picture, for sake of fitting it into the diagram, you know, I have two virtual machines here, but that's not how its customers are rolling it out. To get the economies of scale and all the efficiencies I mentioned, what they're doing is they're putting 10, 20, even I've heard as many as 30 virtual machines on one physical device, right? So that's great for them, for all the cost savings, but it's not great for security. There are two other areas, or actually there's a couple other areas in this diagram that I want to point out to everyone, and that is the management slice. So when you introduce virtualization, you introduce a new layer of management, and that's the VMware management. It's the intelligence that's required to keep all these virtual machines running well, intact, healthy, moving them around, disaster recovery, vMotion, all these things. And when you mention these things to customers, they shake their head because they're things that they deal with every day. And then there's something called a secure virtual machine, and that's very important and very key to what I'm going to talk about today. VMware had foresight early on and several years ago, and they realized when customers, and there were customers that were asking them about security, they realized that, wow, we didn't really think about this when we were building the product. So they said, you know, what are we going to do? Do we try and fix this ourselves? Do we partner with people? Do we buy companies? And kind of the answer, what's evolved, is kind of all of the above, because they're really, you know, trying to figure this out. So as it relates to this, they created a set of APIs for their product for VMware that are called VMSafe. And that was developed over the last 4 years. And it was released with their 4.0 release. So they were in close contact with companies like ISS and IBM, and we worked closely with them on the development of that and said, how is this going to work? So IBM's been working on developing the VSP product for probably about, you know, 3 years, 4 years now. And so a lot of development has gone in. And so you say, you know, so what? What do these things really do? Well, the VM safe environment allows you, it gives you visibility into what's going on in that environment. It gives you visibility into the traffic in that box. It gives you visibility into the and specifically the traffic between the boxes. It gives you visibility when a new VM is being created. It gives you visibility when a new VM is being moved somewhere. And now, you know, the interesting thing about moving virtual machines, which is a very cool feature with VMware, is, you know, you don't have to just move it. You move it to another physical box. And it doesn't even have to be in the same data center. I mean, technically, you could move it to another physical location. And whereas, you know, the example I gave where it had to go on a plane. So I think you get the idea here, you know, the new complexity, relocation, increased infrastructure, multiple operating systems. All these things have really created, almost a network data center in a box. So moving to slide 11, I'm going to talk about some of the risks that are involved now and that have come. And some of these are real today and they're happening, and some of them are theoretical and can happen. And one thing, you know, I've learned with working with security over the years is a lot of things that when there's new vector points or new software that comes out, it's very hackers have become and threats have become very sophisticated. When they see there's exposure, it's not long, you know, shortly thereafter, you're going to see more and more threats in the marketplace. And that's what we're seeing in the marketplace with regard to virtualization. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to briefly discuss some of these examples. So, you know, one would be a VM-to-VM attack. And in this environment, a compromised virtual machine is able to attack other machines on the same host. So if you think about it, you know, in the old world, you had a physical server, and that operating system could be compromised. And now, if that operating system is compromised, it gives the bad guys really visibility and access, you know, to other areas, and that's very dangerous. You know, another example would be VM stealing or VM escape, where, you know, malware is brought into a guest environment. If the guest OS gets compromised, you know, as I talked about, they have access to other aspects of this server. So why would they do this, and why are they focusing on this? You know, the example I like to give people is, you know, if I'm trying to compromise a server, there's a certain amount of effort that goes into that, right? I'm looking for vulnerable servers out there. That's kind of the how bad guys are really approaching it. But now you're telling me that you're putting 20 operating systems or 30 operating systems within one physical box, it's very enticing to me. It's the analogy that I give is a bank. It's you're telling me, hey, you know, I could rob a bank. I got to break into the front door, or I've got to break into the vault. But now, wow, guess what? You're putting 10 or 20 banks into one building. And get this, if I break into the front door of this one building, I get access to the 20 banks. Wow, how much time would I spend on that? Why would I waste my time trying to get into one environment when if I can break into this other environment, it gives me the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Another area is, you know, the hypervisor, and I didn't speak too much about the hypervisor, the hypervisor is this software layer and management layer that's developed by VMware, and hypervisor is really more of a generic term. It was, you know, it's generic to all the major players, but it allows the hypervisor allows you to interface with all these virtual machines. So when you look at that, it's code and it's vulnerable because it's a decent amount of code written with hypervisor, and it wasn't written in a secure fashion, you know, initially. So what we're seeing is, you know, more and more threats that are coming that are impacting hypervisor itself too. And if you can get access to the hypervisor, it can give you visibility into the traffic. So imagine being able to control the hypervisor, and then perhaps all the traffic that's happening in that environment, pulling it in and saving it outside of that, and you can get a lot of very confidential and important. Last area that I wanted to talk about in this slide would be VM sprawl, and that's would be a scenario where an attack Packer, earlier I talked about something called VM Motion within VMware, and that allows you to easily move a server. So for capacity reasons might be one example where a customer moves a server from one physical server to another. So that's called vMotion. They move it. The incredible thing is where that would take sometimes days and weeks to do, it could take minutes or hours in this new environment. So that's the good news. The bad news is, you know, people can move things around pretty easily. And another threat vector would be compromising that and fooling the server into thinking that it's been moved when, in fact, it's been moved to another physical server that they're not aware of, and then you have control of that server. Moving to slide 12, I want to talk about another area because repeatedly I'll mention threat protection, I'll mention compliance, and I'll mention operational efficiency. Compliance is a very important aspect. We all know that those that are in compliance has been a driving force. It's a good thing, compliance. There's a lot of things we all wish were better about compliance, but having been involved with it when there was very little compliance, I can tell you that it certainly raises consciousness, and it's been a good thing for customers in the marketplace. So many customers, put things in place in their environment to be compliant for whatever it may be. It could be PCI, it could be SOX and things like that. But now in the new VMware environment, it's a little different. And the new data centers and the new infrastructure that they're building, they didn't really think about compliance. They made an assumption that if I was compliant before, that in the new world I was going to be compliant in the new space. And that's simply not true. A good example of that is in between servers you need firewall and segmentation. Well, if I have physical firewalls and I have switches within my servers, then I'm compliant. However, if I consolidate these into one box and they're speaking to each other and there's no firewall in between, now all of a sudden I'm no longer compliant. So compliance certainly can't be risked during this, and it's something that we need to educate our customers on. So now that I've talked a little bit about why we need security in a virtualization environment, I'm going to talk about how we specifically address it with our product. And moving to slide 13, IBM's virtualization security. Now, before I go and I talk about VSP, the Virtual Server Protection product, I will tell you that IBM utilizes virtualization in several other areas that are outside the scope of this presentation. But there's actually it's called securing virtualization and virtualizing security. It's a little tricky and a little confusing, but certainly a lot of our products today, like our management console or some of our protection products, like for example our network IPS, we actually are written and are supported in a virtualized environment. So a company that might have a remote store where they have a physical server that's running VMware with several different OSs, they might run our virtual network IPS product. So in that instance, it's actually utilizing the virtualization technology to maximize security. I don't want to go into our products without mentioning that, because I think it's important that virtualization is not only utilized in that capacity. It's a lot of the security vendors are getting benefit from it in other ways too. Slide 14 is just something that I reiterated before, the three areas, and I'm going to talk about each one of them. If you move to slide 15, you'll see that this is what we call our IBM Virtual Server Security for VMware. And on this particular slide, it actually has an old name, which is a good reminder for me. This you may see it when you search on our webpage. Important. It originally was called, when it was originally released late last year, early this year, it was called Virtual Server Security, and shortened to VSS. It's since been renamed Virtual Server Protection, or VSP. So please be aware, because I do get occasional questions on that. Are they the same thing? Are they different products? That it was simply same product, simply a rename. So this is a product that we worked with in conjunction with VMware and their APIs, and it's important to note that it supports another common question that I get is, because VMware has a multitude, if you go on their website or you're selling it, they have a multitude of different versions. They have desktop versions, they have enterprise versions, they have small versions, they have... But with regard to enterprises, they typically most popular are ESX and ESXi. And briefly, the difference between those two is ESX is an older version. It's still current, but it's more robust. It's more of an operating system. There's more code on the management layer. That diagram that I referred to earlier. You know, the code that they introduced. And ESXi is a pared down. It's a more efficient. It's a more bare bones, as they say. If you look at their slides. A bare bones version, and both are available today. Both are active products, and we support both of them. We support both 4.0 and 4.1. Now, another question we get is, do you support? You know, because a lot of customers have existing 3.5 is a very popular version still out there of VMware, and we don't. VSP does not support 3.5, and the reason is that the VMSafe APIs that VMware wrote were not introduced until vSphere ESX 4.0, and that's the reason for that. So at this point, I'll talk about some of the benefits and some of the things that we've written into this product. So the first one up is VMSafe integration. I talked about that previously. What we've added to our product is a firewall and intrusion prevention. And this is not new firewall and new intrusion prevention technology. This is the same firewall and intrusion prevention technology that made, ISS a market leader in that space. It's same protection backed by X-Force, the same protection that's used in, similar in our server protection products, similar to our desktop, to our network IPS products. Again, people say, so what? So what? That gives you years and years of security experience that went into that product, thousands of customers that have been using that, and obviously our world famous X-Force, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about those two areas later. Being able and writing to these different APIs allows us to actually see the traffic between and what's called the inter-VM traffic analysis. So now you're protected in those areas, and we're looking and analyzing that traffic for threats. What it also gives you is automated protection for mobile VMs. I described the scenarios where you can move servers around very quickly, and that's very dangerous also. So now you have protection. If you have a physical server that has our VSP product loaded and someone adds a new, which is very common, customers quite often don't realize how common it is, a new VMware is loaded by someone who has administrative rights to the server, that might not be patched, or that particular server might have vulnerabilities on it. And it starts communicating with the other servers. And a lot of bad stuff can happen. So we're actually able to recognize those new VMs and analyze the traffic in between. Very, very key. And then virtual network level protection, similar to what I spoke earlier with our network IPS. All that protection and the policies and things. Very mature technology. Another key area that ties back to the compliance piece that I spoke about is auditing. What's happening when these people log in to a VMware server? Who's shutting down? You can shut down these virtual machines. You can move the virtual machines. You can suspend them. As I started learning more about VMware, it's just an unbelievably feature-rich product, but along with those features becomes risk, because if you have people who have the rights to do that, it's very dangerous. So we actually recognize and can audit, and that's very important, because when you look at auditors come in and do compliance checking, they want to know what kind of checks you have in place. And when they see a product like ours, it allows them to quickly move through the audits. And the last thing is what we call our virtual NAC. And that's what I mentioned is when a new VM comes online to actually we give you the ability to, if you want, to either accept it or quarantine it so that you can look at it later on and see whether it's something you want to let on your network. So for the sake of time, let's move on to slide 16. And these are all areas that I talked about with regard and gave examples of compliance, configuration and change management, administrative access control, provide virtual machine segmentation, and then also the virtual audit logging. That's important. So slide 17 talks specifically about, which is a very, very hot topic, PCI. Right. PCI is something. It's one of the compliance that has been, enforced, and it's a very large business for a lot of companies. I know a lot of partners out there have practices that do PCI. You do penetration testing and PCI compliance. So I think this is a great product, VSP, to complement. You have consultants go in and do an assessment of an account, and guess what? What's changed about your environment? Well, good news. We added 100 VMware servers. Well, that's a flag for the auditor to say, hey, you're a retail and you have to comply to PCI. What place, what protection have you put in place to maintain your compliance? And, typically in that environment, in that scenario, you're going to get a blank expression on their face. I'm going to say, I didn't need to know I needed to do that. So I think that's a very key component and key driver of this and for all the reasons that are listed on the slide. Next up is slide 18, and return on investment, right? We get that question all the time. We talk about the economy and customers scrutinizing their purchases. And do we really need this, or what's the benefit to us? And this is an excellent slide to kind of summarize. If I had one slide where I needed to talk to a CFO, where you're talking about his exposure and why he needs this. What's your return on investment in your new infrastructure? And one of the comments I've heard different things, and I've heard there's no such thing as a free lunch. You got all these benefits of putting virtualization in place. Another comment that I heard, and it was on the webcast over the summer, is enjoy the ride, but don't forget to buckle up. And I think that's a great expression because it talks about people get in and they're enjoying the benefits of it, but they're not realizing that you need to buckle up too. And so this just provides a summary protection that comes with it. It's non-intrusive. So you get some benefits, right? Previously, we had to load our product onto each one of those VMs. So where we had 50 servers, we'd have 50 agents reporting into our Site Protector console. But now, in the new world, we can load one instance of VSP onto a VMware, and that monitors 20, 25 operating. There's less presence in the guest OS. There's less management overhead because you're eliminating redundant tasks and you're not looking at traffic, several times. You're looking at it as it comes in and out of the box once. As it talks in between servers, you're analyzing, from that perspective also. So it's much more efficient than the previous environment. And then lastly is something I mentioned that we're very proud of is our Site Protector management console. It's a very mature, robust, feature-rich management console that also manages our network IPS appliances, our endpoint protection, our UTM, appliances, and our server product. So you don't need to go out and buy, especially if you're an existing ISS customer or IBM Site Protector customer, you don't need to go out and buy another copy. Slide 19. So I'm not going to go too deeply for the sake of time. I'm not going to go too deeply into slide 19, but I will say this. I think it's very important when you present this product to customers, especially customers that are familiar with IPS and they're familiar with IBM's IPS products. Yes, VSP is a new product. Yes, VMSafe are new APIs. Yes, secure virtualization is got a lot of new things, but those threats and a lot of those threats and a lot of the protection mechanisms that are not new. It's still a server. in a lot of ways, and it still needs to be protected in the same fashion. And our protocol analysis module, or for short, PAM, as we call it, is the most comprehensive developed IPS in the world, and it's in our product. So I've seen people present VSP where they kind of gloss over that and don't really, and then afterwards, you know, I'll be at dinner with the customer and they'll ask, is that, you know, what happened to PAM or is that in there? And I think it's important that you stress that, because while there's a lot of, you know, new great stuff to this, there's also a lot of tried and true security that's baked into this product. Another area that I rarely, if ever, go through a presentation and don't mention is our X-Force research. IBM spends hundreds of millions of dollars on security research. I've heard, you know, as high as $1 billion. X-Force is a very large, well-respected organization. Really, years of history. Our database is the largest database in the world. We analyze this. So, you know, what's the customer benefit, right? We apply the research that X-Force does into all the products, including VSP. What does that mean to a customer? Well, the cost to the customer is minimized because you can put X-Force does the research for customers, and they tell you what's important, what's a high threat, what's a low threat, because there's thousands of threats that come out. You know, you read the X-Force report, I think it's 7,000-8,000 threats that came out last year. There's no way that companies can understand what's important and what isn't. So we do the work for you. Not only we do two things. We not only do the research for you, but we bake these things, the intelligence, into the product. And that leads to increased protection. Very important aspect of the product. So slide 21 is a summary. I mentioned, you know, you've probably seen, if you haven't seen this slide before, you weren't paying attention earlier. Hopefully I haven't put you to sleep at this point. But really, again, I'll get a quick phone call from a sales rep that say, hey, Greg, you know, give me the key points. I got the elevator pitch. I got this person for lunch. You know, what am I going to talk about? You know, we're mitigating these new risks. We're maintaining compliance, and there's a multitude of operational things and ROI that comes with VSP. Moving on to the next section, we have a new release of VSP, which is 1.1, and it's very timely that we had this call because it was released last Friday, November 12th. And what I'm going to do is just briefly talk about some of the things that came out in this product that are important to you. And we'll move to slide 23. So one of the objections that we got, you know, for existing ISS customers that had CyProtector, having them evaluate VSP, you know, pretty straightforward process. They already have the environment. They're familiar with it. But a lot of questions we get from customers, a lot of questions we get from business partners is, hey, I'm going into a new customer. They don't have CyProtector, Greg. I know it's a great product, but they're buying, you know, they're interested in buying 10 copies of VSP. It's a pretty decent investment to buy CyProtector. You know, what can we do about that? So over the last couple months, we heard that more and more, especially since the product started getting more and more traction in the marketplace. So how are we addressing that? Within release VSP 1.1 comes a limited use entitlement version of CyProtector, and that allows you to use CyProtector just to manage VSP. Now, the question becomes, if a customer later on starts buying other protection assets, such like network appliances and other things, then they may need to, at that point, upgrade. But the good news is they'll be familiar with CyProtector, and it's the same management console that I spoke about earlier. New to this release is supporting the latest releases of VMware. I talked earlier about the differences between ESX and ESXi, and we, with this release, support the latest release, which is 4.1 for both. Again, important because a lot of customers now are in the process of moving to that. And then Passport Advantage integration. Very, very key. I'm still learning on the IBM side, but this is a huge mechanism and medium for our partners to procure our products, and both the CyProtector limited use entitlement and the VSP will be able to be procured. Last thing I want to mention about this product is we're licensing it differently. We're licensing it per PVU, and if you're selling our other IBM products, you're familiar with that, so that's goodness. If you're not, I have briefly differences on slide 24. I'll talk about is previously we tied it to the physical processor. So, you know, on a physical host that would have VMware, if you had two processors, it was 5,000, and each additional two physical processors were 2,000. Now we're changing it to the PVU model. And the PVU model is $15 per PVU. And the way that's calculated is shown in slide 25, where you'll see PVU pricing example. And basically, it's processor, number of sockets, and the number of cores, and you multiply it by the PVU price. And the example given there would on the server would be $8,400. And PVUs, the key thing about PVUs is it's based on the power of the it's based on the power of the processor rather than the number of processors. So I'm going to, because I'm running out of time, but I do want to spend a few minutes on, if you move to the next section, which is slide 27, I do have some best practices and some questions, and I want to give folks a little feedback on what I've seen from being out there talking to customers and getting feedback from the field. So common question is, who are the target customers for this product? Got to tell you, almost every single customer is a target customer. I mean, I've met maybe 20, 30 customers and talked about this particular product. I've only had a couple that weren't interested because they were not using VMware. I mean, VMware has 80-plus percent of the marketplace. Virtualization, it's similar to VoIP was, you know, 10 years ago. It's either they're implementing virtualization, or they're in the process of implementing virtualization. So you're going to ask a CISO, a CIO, a security executive, you know, what are you doing in the virtualization front? Describe to me where you're at. Do you have a major project? Are you doing a data center? Are you in the middle of the project? What virtualization products are you using? Are you securing this? Who's responsible for this? So all those questions. And again, almost, you know, 100% you'll get engagement with the customer, which is excellent. And you know, another thing that I love about this product, and I don't want to finish my presentation without mentioning this. This is the most synergetic. I think that's a word, David. Is it synergetic? I just created one. It is. Yeah. It is now. All right. This is the tremendous synergy with this product and the channel and the business partners. Why is it such good synergy? Because so many of our business partners are selling virtualization, selling VMware, selling storage virtualization, doing consulting, selling PCI, all these things. I would even go as far as to say when you look at, you know, when you look at the security folks at IBM, they're security practitioners and experts. They're familiar with VMware from working with it. But I can tell you, when we first started this, they're not quote-unquote VMware experts. This is something where we can really jointly join together the business partners and IBM. And we could leverage your existing relationships, your existing experience with virtualization, your existing opportunities to jointly work with the business partners and sell this. So slide 28 has, you know, several strategies: understanding the environment, educating the customer, making sure the client understands the nature. Very, very important is education. I think you get that from, hopefully you get that from all the things I've been speaking about. I think it's very important, like lesson learned, a tight evaluation period, and understand where you're at in the sales cycle, right? In a perfect world, what you want to do, you want to bake VSP into the customer's virtualization architecture. The most success we've had is where customers have said, hey, I want to test your product. I've got a quote-unquote architecture. They load VSP. They see the benefits. They love it. And then it becomes a standard. So now what typically happens, very common, where a large customer will order three copies of the product. You say, okay, I bought three copies. There's $20,000 opportunity. You know, nice sale, good engagement. But then they say, oh, next year we're doing a data center rollout where we're rolling out 200. Well, guess what? That's just an order where they're going to call you up and they're going to say, hey, this is already baked into the architecture as part of our standard, and that's a much, much larger deal. Very, very exciting opportunities. But beware, though, that it can be a little longer sales cycle due to the educational aspect of this. When you raise the consciousness, they're going to want to see it and look through it. 29, understanding the barriers. is, when I looked at this, it was almost like a quiz for folks that have been on this. If you look through this, you know, the questions that are raised, inability to meet compliance, ability to use traditional security solutions, virtualization adding cost complexity, difficulty making a business case, these are all things you should at this point and are answered in this presentation, and they're listed there. Conversation starters, I mentioned some of familiar you are, security concerns, compliance, virtual environment, property security structure, how do you handle these things? Big one, as I mentioned, who manages security? Last thing, it's given a lot of wind to this and a lot of wind to us and our sales is Gartner. Gartner is a huge supporter of security virtualization. There's some great white papers, if you'll see the reference that Sarah's going to mention. Talk to you about. You can go on the website and you can pull down that Gartner report. It basically, if you read that Gartner report basically is a research paper that describes all the risks and vulnerabilities that I've spoken about, and their conclusion is you need a product like VSP. So I encourage everyone out there to use that as a selling tool. So Sarah, at this point, I'm going to hand it over to you. I apologize, I know I've gone a few minutes over.
No problem. Thanks, Greg, and I hope all of you share the same excitement that Greg has about this product. I'm just going to move a little bit quickly into slide 34. I want to spend a little bit of time on the ordering information just so that is clear, since, like I said, it's our first product in Passport Advantage from the ISS side. As I mentioned earlier, for 90 days, this product can be ordered either way, either through Passport Advantage or through the consistent ISS end-to-end security ordering system. After the 90 days, it's transferring 100% to be a Passport Advantage product only. And we will be hosting some training calls in January about Passport Advantage, and you can also rely on your distributor for that information. And then the other key thing I wanted to make sure is clear is that if it's ordered through the ESOS system, it's eligible for the geographic-based incentives. And if it's ordered through Passport Advantage, it's eligible for the Software Value Incentive Program. But you cannot take advantage of both programs. It's one or the other. And, again, dual pipeline for 90 days. The next slides, 35 through 41, are really just reference. There's a lot of great information out there on the Tivoli Knowledge Center. There's a white paper that we talked about. There is a full-blown push-go campaign there, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel on anything. Hopefully, you're already going out to the Tivoli Knowledge Center and you have this bookmarked. And we also have a fourth-quarter channel sales play just on VSP. So wonderful information out there for you. Go reference it at a later time. And at this time, I'd like to turn it back to the operator to make sure we have questions. So, Judy, could you please open the lines?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Please record your name clearly when prompted. To withdraw your request, you may press star, then two. Once again, to ask a question, please press star one. One moment, please. Champion, you may ask your question.
Yes, regarding the licensing examples you're giving with the PVUs and as far as that relates to processors, is VSP to be licensing required, is it going to be required to license all the physical processors on the server or just the one being deployed for a specific virtual machine? So in other words, if you had a server with two quad core processors in it, and there's eight cores, and two cores were assigned to virtual, let's say, are we licensing the entire eight or just the two?
It's the former. We're not doing any subcapacity licensing, so it actually would you'd have to license it for the full computing power available.
So if they got 30 virtual machines on one server, and that server's got two or three or four octagon processors, all those processors have to be licensed accordingly, right, to VSP?
That's correct.
Okay. That makes it easy.
Thanks for that question.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. One moment. At this time, I show no further questions.
All right. Well, thank you again to everyone for joining. And if you do have additional questions that come up, the last page of the deck on slide 41 has all of our email addresses there. So feel free to contact us at a later time if there is a question. Thanks again for joining, and we'll let you get back to your day.